To the physicians at Mission Hospital, part of St. Joseph Health System, even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's time now for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
There's a newly discovered chronic disorder that causes inflammation of the esophagus, and we're talking about it today. My guest is Dr. Shruti Ariza. She's a board-certified gastroenterologist with Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ariza. We're talking about a type of esophagitis. Tell us about EOE and what it is, what causes it.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on your program today, Melanie. Eosinophilic esophagitis is an allergic condition of the esophagus, or the food pipe. Now, it's a mouthful, so we can refer to it as EOE for short. In this condition, the esophagus has eosinophils in it. Eosinophils are allergy cells in the body. They are not normally found in the esophagus. There are other medical conditions where you can have eosinophils in the esophagitis, and a doctor or gastroenterologist can help diagnose these.
So what causes it?
Well, doctors do not fully understand what causes eosinophilic esophagitis. However, there has been much more information about this recently, and generally it's agreed that it is from some type of an allergy, either to food that we eat or to allergens in our environment.
Okay, so if somebody is having some symptoms, what might they be coming up with that would even send them to see you?
Well, part of the causes as well, a lot of times people with this condition will also have other types of allergic conditions like asthma or eczema or even seasonal allergies, and it can run in families. The symptoms, the most common symptom of this condition is difficulty swallowing, particularly with swallowing solid food. Now, patients may describe food sticking in the throat, but the symptoms can vary. Some people may experience heartburn that doesn't get better with heartburn medication, and other patients may describe chest pain or upper belly pain. Now, in some cases, food can even get stuck in the esophagus, and this is not the same thing as choking. Choking is where something is stuck in the windpipe and a person cannot breathe, and choking is a life-threatening emergency. When something is stuck in the esophagus or the food pipe, this is an emergency, but this is called a food impaction, and in these instances, patients should go to the emergency. They are still able to breathe, though. Now, if the food doesn't pass on its own, they may need to have an endoscopic procedure to remove it. Now, I'm primarily discussing this condition in adults, but eosinophilic esophagitis can occur in children as well, and their symptoms tend to be a little bit different. They may be more of belly pain, nausea or vomiting, or problems during feeding.
And Dr. Ariza, are there certain risk factors which would predispose someone? You mentioned allergies, but is there anything that would have to do, you know, we hear about seasonal allergies and the climate. You mentioned family history. Tell us some of the risk factors.
Sure. So since it is thought to be related to allergy, an allergenic process, we will often find that patients that have this do have other types of allergies. Asthma is something that's commonly found. Eczema is an allergic type of reaction, and certainly seasonal allergies as well. Yes, and we do see that sometimes it can run in families.
We hear so much about GERD. We hear so much about various types of esophagitis, and people, you know, always just assume if they have those symptoms that you've described that they have, you know, some kind of a reflux. They go on an antacid or they go on a medication. How do you diagnose EOE different than you would be diagnosing GERD or any of these others?
I'm really glad you asked that question in this way. Now, even gastroenterologists have been looking closely at the differences between GERD and eosinophilic esophagitis for the reasons you've mentioned. Some of the symptoms can be very similar, and even some of the things that we see in diagnosing it can be similar. So, you know, the place to start, if you experience these symptoms, you should visit your primary care doctor or gastroenterologist. The most common test that's done to check for this is an upper endoscopy. Now, this is where a patient is sedated, and the gastroenterologist passes a thin tube with a light and a microscope, this is called the endoscope, into the mouth and down into the esophagus. The doctor will then look at the lining of the esophagus and take small samples of it. Another doctor called a pathologist will then look at the cells under a microscope to see if there are eosinophils in the esophagus. Formally making the diagnosis of eosinophilic esophagitis can be a little tricky because other conditions can give people eosinophils in the esophagus. and doctors have learned a lot more about this in the last few years. You had mentioned GERD, and that this is one of them. Your gastroenterologist will consider your symptoms and the results of your endoscopy in making the formal diagnosis of EoE. So other conditions like acid reflux or GERD can also lead to eosinophils in the esophagus. Your gastroenterologist may advise you to try certain medications, like acid-reducing medications, and then have a second endoscopy to tell the difference. Better understanding these differences helps doctors properly diagnose and treat the right condition. I had mentioned that the main symptom is difficulty swallowing, but there are also other tests your doctors may do, because there are many reasons people can have difficulty swallowing. Acid reflux can cause damage in the esophagus, and this can lead to scarring, narrowing in the food pipe where food can get stuck. So your doctor might ask you to have a barium x-ray, where you swallow a thick liquid called barium, and then you have an x-ray to look for a narrowing. There's also a set of disorders called motility disorders. Here there is no scar or narrowing. Rather, the muscles of the esophagus do not work properly, and solid and liquid food can get stuck or feel like it is stuck because the esophagus cannot properly squeeze to send that food down into the stomach. A manometry study measures how effectively the esophagus squeezes to see how well the muscles that help you swallow are working. Less commonly, food can get stuck because of a more serious type of disease, such as a tumor from esophageal cancer or another type of cancer that has spread to the esophagus. Now, this would show up on an endoscopy. Similarly, an infection of the esophagus would also show up on an endoscopy.
So, Dr. Ariza, when we're talking about you do the upper endoscopy and you said it is a little bit more difficult, there's a little bit more involved, maybe you do a blood test to see if they have higher than normal levels of eosinophils, mm-hmm. You know, do you look toward the allergy line of things? Do you do some dietary treatment things to see if they're, you know, do they do allergy testing? Does that help you in this diagnosis?
Yes, definitely. So if we do suspect that a person has eosinophilic esophagitis after doing the endoscopy and looking at, you mentioned blood tests can be helpful sometimes as well, then there are some different treatment strategies that we will use. One of them will be referring somebody to an allergist to have allergy testing. So allergy testing to look for food allergies can be helpful. If they're found, sometimes avoiding those foods can help. Many times, though, we are not able to find out what the person is responding to, what allergen they're responding to. Other treatment options include medication, and sometimes a person with eosinophilic esophagitis may also even have a narrowing of the esophagus called a stricture or scarring. This can be treated during an upper endoscopy by widening the stricture, and this is called a dilation. Now, the medications doctors use to treat EoE, typically the first one used is a proton pump inhibitor. People may be familiar with these medications. They are available over the counter, and they are common acid relievers. They're usually used to treat acid reflux. But proton pump inhibitors also have an anti-inflammatory effect that can reduce the numbers of eosinophils in the esophagus. For many people, this might be enough to control symptoms. And we actually now classify these people as having PPI-responsive esophageal eosinophilia. We're not really sure that this is, we don't think, in other words, that this is the same thing as EoE or eosinophilic esophagitis. But if you do have eosinophilic esophagitis, other medications which reduce inflammation can be used. These are steroids. Now, these are different from the type of steroids athletes use to build muscle. There are no steroids, though, currently made specifically for eosinophilic esophagitis. So doctors will prescribe inhaled steroids that are used to treat asthma and tell their patients to swallow the inhaler rather than breathe it in. There can also be liquid steroid preparations that patients can swallow.
So Dr. Ariza, we only have about 2 minutes or so left. Please give us your best advice and some lifestyle things that people can do to keep their EoE in track, keep it under control. Really your best advice about it.
Well, I would say, you know, if anybody's having symptoms of difficulty or pain with swallowing, heartburn that doesn't respond to medication, certainly any unexplained weight loss, abdominal pain, or blood in the stool, see your doctor to get treated and feel better. If you do have eosinophilic esophagitis or another form of difficulty swallowing, it is important to really pay attention to your symptoms and come to see a doctor early on. A lot of times patients with this have just learned to kind of manage their diet, eat softer foods, and kind of live with their symptoms, and may not come in until there is something more serious, like a food impaction or something is stuck. So I would say pay attention to your symptoms, listen to your body, and go see your doctor when something doesn't feel right.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shruti Ariza, board-certified gastroenterologist with Mission Hospital. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number 4, health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.